Upon further reflection, it's Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. I'm Amelia Dalton, your hostess of this here action-packed electronic engineering podcast. This week, we're investigating the ingenious intersection between IBM's Watson and Wind River's VxWorks in the world of industrial IoT. Please welcome Dinyar Dastoor to Fish Fry. We're talking about the details of this unique collaboration, edge-to-cloud recipes, and safety, security, and virtualization in the IIoT space. Check it out. Hi, Dinyar. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Good afternoon, Amelia. Nice to be with you.
So, for my audience who may not know, and I'm not sure who those people would be, but what is Wind River all about, and what are you guys doing specifically in the IoT space?
Wind River has been in business for about 34 years now, and throughout all its history, it has to do with devices. So, what was the desktop computing paradigm in 80s and 90s? Wind River was associated with device operating systems. So what Microsoft was for desktop, Wind River operating system platforms were for devices. And we have two main product lines on the operating system side. One is called VxWorks, which is almost now 28 years old. And we have a Linux product line as well, which is, of course, based on standard Linux, which is also an operating system used for devices. So the main distinction I would make is if you had a computing desktop, one operating system, what Wind River does is make operating systems for devices. Now, you'd ask what device is. A device can range from anything, from very small pacemaker in your heart to your television to bigger systems like missile systems to aerospace or avionics that runs the airplanes to operating theaters in medicine.
Okay, so I read that IBM and Wind River have been collaborating in the industrial IoT space in what is called edge-to-cloud recipes. So first off, what exactly is an edge-to-cloud recipe?
I think that's a great question. In the land of IoT, so in the land of Internet of Things, these little devices that we have been so used to working with are being taken up to the next stage. And the next stage typically is if you can connect these devices to somewhere, and that somewhere typically is a cloud. And if you could do that, then you get lots of benefits. But the main element is, can you take that data that your device is collecting, and then can you store it in a cloud? And then from a cloud, of course, you can make some decisions. Either you can just observe those data or make some decisions and then push it back to the device. In the land of Internet of Things, this edge to cloud is the critical link. The link is the pipe, it's the highway on which you can pass data. So it becomes very important that when you're designing these devices per se, and they come in all shapes and forms, there has to be a common way of gathering data and then a common way of connecting to the cloud and then passing that data through the pipe to the cloud. And I'm sure everybody would think of saying, oh, can I do it securely? Because you don't want that data. It could be proprietary. You don't want the data to leak and get hacked. So to create this data highway, you need several things. You need something on the edge. You need something in the cloud and the construct of creating the highway. So the recipes are like a cookbook, right? So with your ingredients of the cloud, the type of connection and the type of device, you should be able to put together and create this data pipe. So that's what this edge-to-cloud recipes are all about. Now, one characteristic of the cloud is that there are different providers of cloud, and therefore they have their own infrastructure. So for example, in case of IBM, who is one of our first cloud providers that we are sending data into, they have their Bluemix Cloud and the Watson that we all know of as the data processing engine on the IBM side. So these cloud recipes help you transfer data, and then once you're on the IBM cloud, you're able to use their services of storage, network, analytics to extract intelligence out of it.
So you have also been working with the IBM Watson IoT platform. Tell my audience more about this collaboration.
So this collaboration is more about what you do once the data gets into the cloud. And here is where there are lots of cool things that you can do. So if to a more consumer-centric view, if you look at, I would give you the example of the Nest thermostat, for example. I mean, it has become an iconic element that you have something in your house, which was pretty much a dumb device, suddenly becomes very intelligent because now it is able to control the temperature of your house. And that you can do more intelligently if the data was in the cloud. But that's a very simplistic example. I'll give you a good example of in the industrial Internet of Things realm, you are monitoring data from a high-speed motor. And as you gather data, over a period of time, you are able to detect anomalies that are happening in the ball bearing of the motor. So a platform like Watson is able to process this big data set that is coming in from this machine. And the key value then happens is that how do you predict failure? And if you had a large data set, a system like IBM Watson is now able to process it, give you an indication that something is going to fail. Therefore, the value to you as a business is you can do predictive maintenance. You can do a planned maintenance rather than something failing catastrophically, and then you have to make it a fire drill. You have to go and replace it in an emergency. So with that concept is what we work with IBM in how we send data to the cloud, how securely can we send data to the cloud, and once it is in the cloud, how do you intelligently process it?
So three important pillars to any IIoT platform are safety, security, and virtualization. How does VxWorks support these aspects of an industrial Internet of Things platform?
You hit upon something that is absolutely key to industrial IoT. So anything that is in the industry, of course, has some elements of safety or sometimes big element of safety. Security is everywhere, and we hear so much about people hacking automotives, IP cameras, and so on. So that's very important. And then finally, virtualization is a new concept being heavily applied on Internet of Things, and I can explain that in little detail. So VxWorks as a platform supports all three critical aspects of this. So for example, on the safety side, you conform to certain safety standards. So if you are in the land of industrial automation, you are looking at a standard called IEC 61508. And that very specifically specifies what level of safety is your device doing. Now, in the land of IoT, you can now imagine that you have this device which is doing a fairly critical work, like a robot manufacturing a car. And now you have connected it into a big cloud. It would always be via gateways, but it is still now connected to the larger internet. How do you ensure things that are happening on the larger internet does not compromise safety? You need a fairly good firewall between what is happening on the internet side to what is happening on your intranet side or your factory where the safety function is being performed. This is where virtualization now comes in. So virtualization actually allows you to partition your system into like smaller virtual systems on a single processor. And most processors are today multi-core, so you have enough horsepower to do this. So your device would be like virtually divided up into smaller blocks. And think of it as one block is managing safety, and it is encapsulated enough that it does not affect, or the external forces cannot affect the safety, and the safety element, of course, cannot affect the external world. That's how you encapsulate it. Now, security has to be pervasive across the whole system. So you want to have security on the safety side. You also want security on the cloud side. So VxWorks has elements that allow you to have safety, security, and virtualization built into the edge device itself.
So, Dinyar, I heard that the VxWorks client for IBM Watson IoT is currently free. So, why this price point? And where can my audience go for more information?
Again, a very good question. So, Amelia, in the world of Internet of Things, the value that people will extract is in multiple places. So the traditional idea of that if I give you a software, I surely need some money for it, completely breaks up. In the land of Internet of Things, there is more value that you get from services rather than just the product itself. So therefore, the VxWorks client for this connectivity for IBM is absolutely free. It's available on GitHub in several places, but our main element, and everybody knows GitHub. So on GitHub, this particular client is available. You have recipes for that, and recipe essentially tells you, here are the steps that you follow, depending upon what VxWorks version you have. And if you know a few basics of VxWorks, you should be able to bring up the client and talk to the cloud in about 45 minutes, I would say, in that time frame.
That's awesome. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Dinyar. This was super cool.
Oh, thank you, Amelia. It was my pleasure.
Don't you wish you could look into the future? And maybe you wouldn't have sold off that Apple stock 15 years ago, right? Okay, all money-making ventures aside, what if we could look into the future and find flexible and future-proof backplane technology? Yeah, I know. Totally not as good as betting on the Cubbies this year. But in a recent episode of Chalk Talk, I sit down with Matthew Burns of Samtech, and we're talking about this very thing. In expanding the backplane ecosystem, Matthew and I are talking about backplane systems, and I'm sure you guessed that, but also backplane systems that can bring the performance and flexibility you need to keep your system running for a long, long time. You can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, by heading on over to YouTube, keyword, EE Journal, or by navigating on over to the on-demand section of eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. And we also have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword, EE Journal. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. I'm just saying. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can also grab our Fish Frying RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, even if your company makes it, that's totally cool. Any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, you might see me trolling the halls of Arm TechCon next week. Or the best geeky hotspot in your city, because I love that stuff. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of October 21st, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.